This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. We're on episode 12. My name is Ben Platt. Thank you for listening. We're doing a bit of a Christmas special this week, if you can call it that, probably just because it's Christmas. But who have we got with us today? We've got Duncan McCready. We've got Bradley Platt taking some time out of his busy schedule to join us. And Chris Hermitage. How are you, lads? You okay?
Yeah, all good. Thank you, mate.
Yeah, very well, Ben.
All in the Christmas spirit. All in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a postie, so I hate Christmas, to be fair. But
don't you get paid a bit though? Get left some tips and.
Oh, I've done all right this year of tips. Yeah, can't complain.
He's joking, aren't you? He's been on strike most of it.
I was going to say, yeah. He hasn't been working, has he? Brad, welcome back, mate.
Cheers, mate. It's good to be back on and see your faces and talk about QPR. So hopefully.
Where have you been, mate?
Been busy, mate, with work, and I've bought a house, so I've been doing that up. So, yeah, so I've been busy, man.
Fair enough. Just so everyone knows, we've got midfield maestro Tim Urubunam joining us. Make sure I got that right. I think I did. Joining us in the next 5 to 10 minutes. But before he does, let's get stuck in to Preston. Typical QPR fashion. I think everyone who was willing to listen or bet in, I said, bet Preston are a good value. But again, typical QPR, we go away, put on a really good performance, controlled the majority of the match, I thought. Should have won by more, really, when you look at the game. Brad, I'll come to you first, mate. What did you make of the game?
Well, I think we had a strong first half. I think we come out looking good. Different sort of team coming out. They all looked like they wanted it from the get-go, I thought. Defence and Dazelle were brilliant. Dazelle being one of the best players of the park on the day. But what's Tim got to do to score? Unfortunately, hitting the post again. Just need him to get a goal. But yeah, I think, look, we've got a good 3 points away from home. So yeah, we'll take that.
Chris, did you see much in the way of how we set up and the way we played? Any difference to the way Neil Critchley and Mickey Beale's style, was there much difference, did you think?
I think we kept Willock and Adoma a lot wider than we have done previously. Obviously, the majority of the season, we've had Willock and Chair, and you don't want the two of them hugging the touchline because it goes against their natural way of playing. But that's more normal for Adoma. But we got back into shape very quickly. I thought the first sort of 20, 25 minutes, Dykes was really good. I'm only talking about kind of basically just getting himself involved in the play, holding the ball up. His touch was strong, bringing people in. It was like that's what he especially and the team need early on in an away game, for touches not to go awry, to be like, right, I can make this stick and bring others into the game. And yeah, I was delighted with the win. But you quickly kind of realised watching that game why Preston have only scored 5 goals at home all season. They weren't up to much, really. Previous week, they scored 4 away and were great, but at home, they don't seem to be doing it.
I was a bit disappointed with them. I think they won 4-1 the week before against Blackburn away. I expected them to be, you know, bagging form and up for it. But I don't know if it was a mixture of us just being, we just went straight at them, didn't we? It felt like Critchley had given them a bit of a loot, given them a bit of a team talk to just go out there and just play rather than sit back. And you kind of got that feeling from the first sort of 5 or 10 minutes, Dunk.
Yeah, I think you definitely feel like, we said the season quite a few times, we're slow starters, and we weren't at all. Like, we really came out of traps. We really got on the front foot early doors, and we took control of the game, which I don't feel we've done a lot this season. We've had a few games where we've dominated, but yeah, it was a kind of like almost like a change in mentality. The players seemed to know what they had to do, and I don't want to say it was a comfortable win, but I'd never really felt we were that threatened. Wow. I felt like we had the game in control for like most of the majority of the match.
Preston at the end, I don't know how that didn't go in the net, to be honest.
What, the volley?
The volley, yeah.
Yeah, when that was coming over in the air, you were just thinking, settling in the bottom corner and we're going to get stung here. But
And any other day on that game, Willett would have buried that volley, wouldn't he, as well?
Yeah, great play from Radoma to dink that ball in. Yeah.
I want to touch on a couple of things. Jimmy Dunn, I want to touch on our striking issues as well, because you make up a big points around the fact that we should have been out of sight really before that last 5 or 10 minutes anyway. Only being 1-0 up put us at a bit of a... It made it the last 5 or 10 minutes a bit of a sticky situation. But we'll go through that in a second. But I believe Tim's here, so we'll just welcome him in. We welcome Tim, midfield maestro at the moment. How are you, Tim? Welcome.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. Before you come on, we were having a bit of a debate. We thought we'd start off with it while it was fresh in our mind. And who we were talking about, Sinclair Armstrong, and around the challenge, the balls challenge, you know, the balls.
Yeah.
And we were wondering, who would win in a race between you and him in a straight foot race, right? We're split 2-2. So we just wondered what, because I think you're a lot quicker than him, but we're 50-50 here.
I reckon he's more explosive. I reckon Tim will have him on the distance.
Nah, I don't know. I think Sink's pretty quick still. I'm rapid. Yeah. Did you see, you saw my burners earlier on the weekend?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
People aren't that, you know, Ethan and I tell him all the time I'm rapid, but they don't want to believe me. But nah,
can we make it happen? All right, one day, whatever happens, have a race, film it, and we'll see who wins. I've got you down, Tim. And you didn't do the challenge. Have you done the crystal ball challenge? Are you doing it?
Nah, I stayed away from that, so that ain't me still.
Fair enough. Did you watch the World Cup?
Yeah, I watched it, yeah.
What did you think of it being sort of around this sort of time of the year, and you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. To be fair, I'm just obviously Ronaldo is my goat, isn't
it? Is he?
Oh no!
I'm getting stick up at everyone, man.
No, I'm on your. I'm with you. Ronaldo's the goat.
No, Messi, surely.
No, Ronaldo still, but yeah, no, it was good. Yeah,
definitely. Brad, that takes one of your questions away, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. I'll put Messi or Ronaldo, but he's just answered it already.
That's Ronaldo still.
Tim, okay. How quickly start off with a few questions about yourself. And I mean, how we were just chatting about how well we thought you'd done since you've come in, and you've really, really impressed us. What is your own view on how you've started the season with QPR?
I think first couple of games was a bit rough for me still. I was struggling to, like, get into the pace of the game, and like I just needed a couple of games to like adapt. Like, I kept getting pushed off the ball, and like, I don't know, it's different to like 23's football, but then obviously after a couple of games I adapted, and then yeah, just been going strong. Yeah,
is it much difference between academy football and what you've done before? I know you've had a couple of Premier League games, but you know, you said you found it difficult. What was it specifically that made it so difficult to adjust?
Like the physicalness, like the amount of running you have to do, like everyone's just like hench, you know what I mean? Like every time I jump up for a header, I'm always getting like barged in the back by like strong midfield and stuff. So like, it's just playing against proper men, obviously against the players in the under 21s. I can just run past anyone because I'm strong enough to do that. But in this league, it's different. You have to be like, you have to adapt and play differently. Yeah.
I think we had Andre on recently, I can't remember, a few months ago. He was saying that people, he was getting pinched every now and again and people like accidentally stamping on his feet and stuff like that. Yeah. Does that happen?
Yeah, they're always doing that, especially from like corners and wide free kicks. They're always like blocking you and stuff. Like, you have to be so focused all the time.
Obviously, it feels like a bit of a mad last couple of months, or especially last month at QPR. What's that been like experiencing a manager sort of suddenly leaving, especially when we're doing so well? I mean, how's that experience been?
I don't know. It didn't really affect me. Like, I just try and focus on myself. Like, I experienced it at Villa, like when Gerrard came in after Dean Smith left. So it was, you know, it's kind of the same thing. But yeah, I just carried on doing what I do best. Like, it didn't really affect me. Yeah.
I mean, obviously Neil Critchley's coming. Are you aware of him? Did you play under him before? We weren't quite sure.
Yeah, he was the assistant start of the season, so I was with him.
You were there, were you? Season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has there been any big major changes since he's come in?
Not really. Just a bit of, you know, change some tactical stuff, but nah, not really. It's pretty much similar.
Yeah. We were chatting before as well about how when you came in, you came in as maybe a number six and a bit of a CDM, if you like. But we've sort of seen you play as more of forward thinking and on the front foot, and you seem really good. I mean, is there a preferred way you'd like to play, or is it that since you've been here, you've kind of changed how you've played previously?
I used to play eight, like when I was younger, I was always an eight, like a box-to-box midfielder, but I don't know, when I went to Villa, I just went changing to a six for a bit. I don't know why, just don't know, maybe it was the safer position, I don't know, but I think coming here has like brought it out of me, and like, I now know I can do that box-to-box role very good as well, so yeah. I prefer
the role you prefer to do? Is that the one you'd prefer to do?
I think as a six, like, you don't get to go forward as much, and it's a bit, it's not boring, but you're not involved as much, you know what I mean? But eight, you can, like, it's free room, you can go wherever you want, you're more on the ball, you get to get up and down. So, yeah, I prefer eight, to be fair. Yeah.
What's been the biggest difference between, not the championship as such, but more the clubs, as in Aston Villa and QPR? Has there been any major, obviously the size of the clubs, but has there been anything that you've noticed different since you've come over?
But to be fair, at Villa when I was there, like, because the old gaffer Mick, like, it's the same formation, and it's so, like, the way they played and stuff was all the same. So the only stuff that would have changed is like the facilities and stuff like that. But I was due to the club being bigger, but yeah, nothing really. Yeah,
no, have you had to adapt to the facilities or the way QPR is, as opposed to Villa, or is it you're fine, you just deal with it?
Obviously, like the gym and that, it's not the same, but nah, there's always ways around it, so yeah, it's fine.
Cool. And obviously, your transfer to QPR, it felt like it was rumoured for ages, really. But did it just come about out of the blue? Was it sort of planned? Were you waiting for the green light? Was there other offers? I mean, what can you talk us through that sort of transfer of?
Yeah, I had a couple offers, but. Like the old gaffer, he spoke to me from like the start of pre-season and just like let me know like if like you want to come and like come and play for us, then like we're happy to have you. And like I always had that in the back of my mind. Like I knew I wasn't playing much at Villa. I wouldn't say not enjoying it, but because I weren't playing, I was like, you know, not enjoying it, but yeah. It came to that. I think it was Arsenal. We played Arsenal. Villa played Arsenal, and I didn't get on. And then after that, Gerrard said, "Yeah, like you can go and play." I was like, "Yeah, I'm happy to go."
And since you've been here, I mean, who have you been? Is there any particular players that you've been really impressed with, or someone that has taken your eye since you've been here?
Well, Ilias. I probably say Ilias Chair. Like my first session with him. Like just like how quick his feet are, the things he does on the ball, like him especially, and Chris as well. But them two, they're a joke on the ball. Ethan Laird, he loves to go forward. He's not a safe player, you know what I mean? Like he's always attacking. And then Tyler Roberts as well. Obviously, he's a Prem player, so like, we know about him. Yeah. But obviously, you know, it's a good team. Like a strong squad. Like everyone's like very good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously the fact that Ilias went to the World Cup, obviously demonstrates how good a player he is. Yeah. And has he spoken to any of the squad since he's been away? Like, have people been in touch with him or kind of let him do his own thing over there?
No, after every game, like, or before, no, before every game in the group chat, everyone would say good luck. And like when they got through, we'd say congrats and stuff. And then obviously when he made it, when he came on, was it against Croatia?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone was just saying like congrats and stuff. So yeah, we spoke to him a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and no, that's good. Same, I mean,
same as Senny as well, like for both of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, QPR fans were buzzing on Saturday, the fact that we were winning at the same time that Cher was coming on in the World Cup. It was perfect kind of double hit for us.
Yeah.
Is he back? Is he? Yeah.
Nah, he hasn't come. I think he's in first tomorrow, yeah, maybe. I was going to say,
when he walks in, I can imagine him with his big grin walking in.
Yeah. He's definitely going to have some like little remarks about that, but no, that's all right. I'd do the same, to be fair, if I played at the World Cup.
Exactly. But you have played at the Euros in terms of England under 19s. So we wanted to ask you about that, kind of your experience of that, the best players you played with at the tournament, and kind of how it was to have won something of your country.
Yeah. No, that was probably one of the best experiences I've had so far. Like, just like everything to do with it, like traveling to Slovakia, doing all the pre-tournament stuff, and then just like the games, just even being on camp with like everyone's a good player next to you playing for England. Like, just yeah, it was a good experience. Like playing against teams like in the final, Iran, like you'd expect them to be not very good, but like even them, they were bopping it. Like, they're very good. Like every team that went was very good. So yeah, it was like a very good tournament, a strong tournament to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then does that obviously give you hope that obviously in sort of 4 years time, and especially like watching the World Cup now, you can think, look, in 4 years time, I could be there. I mean, Emi Martinez said that he was in the crowd in Russia watching Argentina. And he said to his mate in the stadium, in 4 years time, I'm going to be playing for Argentina. And obviously he was, and he won the World Cup. So to say, like, we're expecting you to tell us right now, yeah, I will be the midfield maestro for England and lead us to the World Cup in 4 years time. But at least you're on the, you feel you're on the pathway and being involved in the younger age groups, and you can see the vision at least.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we've got the World Cup, the under 20s World Cup at the end of this season. So that'll be a good experience. I think that's in either Indonesia or Singapore, one of them, I'm not sure. But yeah, that'll be a good experience, and we'll see how well we can do there.
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously had a lot of, it's been a lot more recent championships at England youth level in the last sort of 3-4 years compared to the rest of most of our lifetimes, to be honest. So we're definitely going in the right direction. In terms of how close do you think you are to scoring your first goal for QPR? Like, you seem to, you basically force the keeper to make a ridiculous save every single game, or hit the post or hit the crossbar. Like, it just seems you're inches away. Do you kind of feel the same? Or
I can't believe I still haven't scored, I'll be honest. Like, after every game, like, I'm thinking, like, how have I not scored? Like, I've had so many, like, even one-on-one chances where I've just, like, misstruck the ball or something, or just the keeper's made a good save. Like, I have a feeling before games, like, this is the one, and, like, it's just never come. Like, last game, I think I had 4 shots and I didn't score. Like, I don't know. But, nah, it's coming. Hopefully Boxing Day.
Have you got a special celebration lined up for when you get that goal?
I ain't got nothing lined up still.
Is there any banter around the camp with you not scoring yet?
People are onto my shooting still. Like, my shooting's miles off it. But, nah. It's coming.
Exactly. No, you are so close. And I think I've got on my seat at least 3 or 4 times already celebrating the goal as you've hit it. And just keepers are just pulling off ridiculous saves. But yeah, you're going a great run. Like, as soon as you get one, it'll be like dominoes. And you'll be getting 2, 3, 4, that's for sure.
It'll be like a scrappy goal. But it'll be like a scrappy little tapping or something. That's what
I'll
you want, though.
Anything at this way, I'll take it.
I wanted to ask you about, is this the first time you've lived away from home? Obviously, being the age you are kind of moving to a London-based club, kind of how have you adapted, if this is the first time you've lived away from home, and kind of if there's anybody in the squad who's particularly helped you out with that at all?
To be fair, when I was back in Birmingham, I lived on my own as well. So, but obviously it's a bit different because like if I was bored, I'd like have friends to go to, family. But obviously in London, I'm just a bit on my own. But now I feel like I've coped with it well. Like the first couple of weeks, I was bored out of my brains. I didn't know what to do. Like I was always just, you know, when you're so bored, you just fall asleep. Yeah. That would just happen to me all the time. But now I've found stuff to do. I invite friends over sometimes. I've gone out with the lads a few times, Ethan, Leon, even Unks. So yeah, just keep myself occupied in it, just stuff to do.
You know, get out with Unks. What does that involve? Tell us more.
Me, Unks, Leon, and Ethan went to some Nigerian restaurant. It was nice, to be fair.
I was thinking maybe you did kick ups somewhere down the park or something.
Oh, nah. These kick ups are a joke, so I can't do that.
I thought he would have won that bauble challenge, but he didn't, did he?
So I didn't see him. I didn't even watch the video. I don't know who's done it. I saw Jimmy, but Jimmy's a tech man.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody listening, but yeah, just go and watch it, and I think you'll be surprised by the end result. But yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned kind of like potentially like being bored and finding things to do, because another question I'd written down was like, what do professional footballers do in their spare time? Because obviously we know like you're not in training from, it's not like you get there at 9 and finish at 5:30. Like most people, their working day, your working day is probably what, 2-3 hours at training, then obviously you've got days off. So can that be difficult at times? Like obviously we have this image that the life of a professional footballer is amazing and it's the pinnacle and all of us would want to be doing it. But obviously with the talk about mental health a lot more common now, do you find it can be difficult at times?
It depends. Sometimes like after training, I'll like stay and just do extra, just like to waste time, if you get me. Like leave training at like 4:30, get back for like 5-ish, and then like the day's almost done. But when I get home at like 2-3, Jesus, I'm bored out of my brain. But I don't know, I'll just watch Netflix or something, just play PlayStation, just do something to keep myself occupied.
Yeah, and there's always stuff to be able to do. The last question that I've got before I pass you over to Dunk is there any players you watch kind of growing up that you feel have influenced your playing style? Like my mate bangs on at me all the time about how he sees Yaya Toure in your game. I don't know if that one has come up before or if there's anybody else that you look at and go, yeah, that's kind of similar.
To be fair, mine's Pogba still, Paul Pogba.
Yeah,
Doug says that, yeah. Every day.
That's what I say. I say like your style, even like how you run and like how you move on the ball just reminds me of Pogba.
Yeah. Nah, I watch him so much. Like before I go out for games, I'll watch him on YouTube. I'll just type in Pogba best bits. I'll watch him out. I even had blonde hair because I wanted to be Pogba last season. Yeah, I'm a Pogba fan still.
You got to have a blue strip in your hair. He's done that, isn't he? Or something?
I thought that was a bit. I thought I was pushing it a bit, so I left that.
Tim, I just wanted to touch up on, obviously Chris touched on it a little bit, but like as a 19-year-old coming on loan, obviously, do the club give you like an older senior pro as like a mentor to kind of help you settle in, or is it kind of like just young lad living up in the city?
I don't think like the club gave me anyone, but Leon was like, I don't know, he must have just like, he's probably been through his experience. He like just took it upon himself to come and like look after me almost, like just like checking in on me all the time, like always pushing me. Like if my standards are dropped, he'll be on to me all the time. Like he will always be on to me, like if I'm messing about or something. But like he's always saying it like he just wants the best for me, and like he's seen it like before where players have took the mick and like not have done as well as they could have and stuff like that. Yeah. So nah, the club didn't give me anyone. I think just the players took it upon themselves. But it's a young group, isn't it? So like I can relate to them more, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, fair enough. Obviously, we are quite a young group, but also a talented group. Like, how well do you think the team can do this season? Like, do you guys talk about playoffs, promotion, or is that kind of like a taboo subject? You just like go about every game as it comes?
Nah, we know we can, like, I'd say promotion, but obviously we've dropped loads of points, but like, we know we're good enough. Like, it's just whether we're playing at our best. Like, there's been games where we've drew or lost, but we've been on top, had many shot chances and stuff. Like, no, we know we're good enough to be in promotion at least. Like, that's the worst, if you get me.
Yeah. Do you have any personal aims for the season? Like, have you kind of set yourself some targets or some goals to achieve whilst you're on loan with us?
No, I haven't actually done that, to be fair. I just take every game by game, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, fair enough. Obviously, it's been a bit strange having the World Cup, obviously, in like the winter months. Is that strange for you guys, like having to have like a break and obviously having condensed games like before and after it?
Yeah, obviously it's been weird because we've never done it before, but I think we had 10 days off. I think that helped me because like, I just could just rest and relax. Like, obviously, I was playing like 21s in around the first team last season, so fitness wise, like compared to me playing now, like Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, 3 game weeks and stuff like that, I reckon I'm 10 days off has helped me loads because I'm not used to playing so often, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think it was good for us, really.
Yeah, good. Obviously, we kind of briefly touched on it earlier, but do you think yourself as like a CDM, a box-to-box, attacking midfielder, where would you say you would want to play if you were kind of the gaffer putting yourself into the team? Where do you want to be?
Yeah, I'd put myself as a box-to-box midfielder because I like to defend. I like to attack as well. So, like, I reckon that in the six, like, you can only do so much, whereas the eight, you can do pretty much everything. So, yeah.
So, Tim, I wanted to ask you, have the lads had a Christmas party?
Yeah, we just went for food.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, no clubbing. We don't do any clubbing or anything like that.
I just want to, I'll finish on the quickfire questions, which I like doing. Break it up a bit. So, childhood idol?
Pogba.
Biggest fear?
Heights.
FIFA or COD?
FIFA.
Night in or night out?
Night out.
Best away ground you've played in?
Played in? Probably the last one, King Power. So yeah.
Oh, I got Messi or Ronaldo, but we already know that. First football kit you wore?
No, some Sun Coldfield one or Sun United one.
Biggest wind-up merchant at QPR?
Oh, that's me still. Oh.
QPR home or away kit?
I'm an away kit still. The away kit's nice.
Hidden talent. We got any hidden talent? Play the piano or something.
I'm not too bad at singing.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. What? I'm not singing on here, though, so don't.
What type of singing is it, Tim? What type of singing is it? R&B, is it? Or is it a bit of soul?
Anything, man. Anything.
Anything. Anything.
Yeah, man.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What? One meal for the rest of your life, what are you picking?
One meal?
Yeah, for the rest of your life, you only had one.
I don't know, probably like Sunday roast or something.
Yeah. You're going on a night out. You just mentioned you like a night out. What three QPR players are you taking with you? And why?
I'm taking Jimmy Dunn. He's just hilarious. Like, that's my guy.
Everyone says Jimmy.
He's a top guy still.
I think Sinclair Armstrong could be a bit of a joker, though, on a night out.
Yeah, he'd definitely be a joker. he is a joker, to be fair. Ethan, because he's just vibes in it, lit guy. Ethan, Jimmy, who else would I take? I'd probably take Jordan Archer.
Yeah?
He's just hilarious. He's crazy, man.
I can't believe you didn't take Unks for his moves on the dance floor.
Nah. I think we got some good news, to be fair.
Tim, just quickly, before we let you go, I just wanted to quickly touch on Preston, the game and the build-up to it. It felt like a team sort of let loose a little bit. Was there instructions for that to happen, the build-up to the game? What made that? Because we started so well, and I just wondered, was that the instruction?
Obviously, the Gaffer gave us a good game plan, and we just stuck to that. But I think most of it was just us being fed up of like where we are, looking back and thinking like we should be higher than we are, and just wanting to prove ourselves that we're good enough to, you know, go and win games. Like, we could have been a couple goals up in the first half, but, you know, the game ended 1-0, but I don't think that was actually a true reflection of the game, you know what I mean? Like, we should have won more than that, but I think that was just us, showing everyone how good we are and just, saying, we can do it, if we're at our best.
What's the routine then? Are you for the Boxing Day game? Do you train Christmas Day or do you?
We're in on Christmas Eve,
right?
And then we have to report at the Cardiff Hotel for 9 PM.
Right. Okay.
So there's a coach coming leaving from London at 6, but because I'm going to be in Birmingham, I can just drive straight to the Cardiff Hotel. So yeah.
I was going to say, for Christmas you're going to go back home, are you? Yeah. Top man, mate. Okay, we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us. We hope you have a good Christmas and try and get that goal Boxing Day, mate. And
make sure you have a great celebration when you get that goal, mate.
Yeah, I'll get one lined up. I'll work on it.
Yeah. I think we were saying you've got these centre midfielders on toast, mate, every week. Yeah. So just keep doing what you're doing, mate. And have a good Christmas, bud. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers for coming on, mate.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah.
Cool. Top lad there. I think by the end of the season, he's going to be our best player. I do. I think there's such a good player. And I know Doug, me and you have come to blows over him in previous pods.
But even he said himself, he took the first 4 or 5 games to get adjusted to the league. That's all my point was. He has to be consistent and make the step up. He has to put himself into a game and control the midfield, and he's doing it now. I've bought my ticket, lads. I'm on the Tim train. Literally, for me, him and Sam Field is like a midfield pair is just absolutely perfect, because Sam Field sits, holds, does everything he needs to.
There,
when we get Steph back, them three, oh my days, we get them three, Tim firing, Chrissy Willock, Ilias Chair back, and a striker on loan in January, we'll be flying.
I thought Dizel, it's a shame, because I thought actually Andre Dizel was excellent on Saturday. And you kind of get that from him every now and again. You'll get that where he the ball sticks to him, he's everywhere, he'll put a tackle in. It just doesn't happen enough, does it? It's just frustrating.
Think that was the new manager bounce for Dizel?
Because it happened at the start of Beale, didn't it? He was excellent.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's kind of do you think he kind of falls out with managers a little bit?
I just think with Andre, we don't see. I don't want to be disrespectful or because I do like him as a football player, but I just his passing is his best part of his game, and if he isn't doing that or if he doesn't have the ball, it's difficult for him to influence football matches, which is difficult for him, isn't it? Because that's when he looks like he's not doing a lot. So I think but I think you're right, we need that Stephanie Hansen in there, don't we? I think that three feels like a real good midfield three. Not sure what you lads think.
Yeah, no, it's naturally the sooner we get Steph back and fit, the better. He was in such good form earlier in the season when he was fit. We've talked about on previous pods the difference between this season and last season when he definitely wasn't fit. It's just an unfortunate one at the moment. I could have sworn there was an interview before the Burnley game where, not with him, but with, I thought it was with Chrissy Willock, and he said something like, Steph is back. And even there was a video today where they were holding up the whiteboard, and I'm reading this into this a lot, but Steph was wearing, he was basically wearing too many layers. He can't have been training properly. I mean, he might start next week and I might have to eat my words, and I hope I do. But it didn't look as if he'd been training today. So that's like, oh, how much longer is that one going to go on for?
Chris, I was thinking this, that we keep, and it's a frustrating thing about managers, Bill used to do it as well. They tell you that players are back and fit, but they don't. But fans want to know when they're going to be playing, not when they're fit to kick a ball. We want to know when they're actually fit to play. Because it feels like, I think it was Neil Critchley said, we've got a couple back at the weekend, but we didn't have anyone back, did we? So, do you know what I mean? Like Tyler Roberts is still out. Was it Stephanie Hansen, Liam Balogun, Amos?
You've got Amos as well to come in that midfield. You know, we've stick Johansson in there. Amos, Dazell, just going to struggle to get games, aren't they? Yeah. You say you've got Richards as well.
Richards, that's a good one, Brad. Yeah.
Is anyone worried that we're going to lose Tim in January? Like, do you think Villa could call him back?
I think the same as FIFA led, isn't it? I think we
that's worrying because United want to sell Wan-Bissaka, don't they?
And Dalot's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was interesting to see that obviously Critchley come in and he still put Dickey on the bench.
Yes, that is interesting. Very.
Obviously, what was your thoughts on, do you think Critchley and Bill have had a chat? Do you think they've had a phone call and Bill said, look, this is what it's about. This is who's good. This is who should be on the bench. Probably shouldn't tell him who's to go on the bench, but do you know what I mean? Do you think they've got that relationship? Well, obviously, we don't know. But
personally, I think that I would be surprised if that kind of conversation happened, because why would you take the advice of the ex-manager, like, when he was only here, what, 5 months? Like, I don't know, like, I just don't, like, if the thing is, if that's happening, that just, I don't know, that makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. Like, why would you, I don't want him speaking to Bill. I don't want Bill to, like, get in his head about players and stuff. He needs to come in and make his own mind up.
Yeah.
That's made me really annoyed, Brad.
But I mean,
I wonder whether it's just a game, mate, I can understand why Jimmy Dunn was in for the games that he was in, because you'd think that maybe they thought Ashley Barnes would be playing, Jay Rodriguez, physical, Preston are quite a physical side. I don't know. I feel like maybe that might be the way of thinking, but
no, I mean, I mean, for me, I'd have Dunn on the team sheet over Dickey any week, time of the week now, because you've got Clark sort of there as well. But Dickey as well, there's a player there, and it was just interesting to see that Critchley did start him on the bench. Likewise, Bill. And again, I noticed he come on. I know mid come on, but would you not play mid over Unks, or am I being a bit harsh there?
I think when the team sheet came out, considering Shadipo as would be our lone sign of positivity against Burnley, I was surprised the Doma played over him. Then when you watch the game, I was like, okay, this is why managers know better than most fans, because Doma was great, like very professional display. He never really looked as if he was blowing, which in a lot of games at home he does look like that. And naturally, I think it's an easier thing for managers to go back to a more experienced option all the time as well.
But let Ethan Laird, didn't he? It enabled him to get forward because Unks was sitting in.
Yeah.
So when you've got Shadipo out there, he's a bit more of attack minded, isn't he? He's not going to come back and fill in the right back, is he? Whereas,
Unks has been playing wing back, hasn't he? So he's kind of used to maybe just holding back and covering that section anyway. But the problem is, Critchley needs to come and see some of these players, doesn't he? That's probably why some of them are getting minutes when we were surprised with certain substitutions and people starting, like George Thomas starting the other week. Like, it's purely obviously of getting players minutes and see what they can do in front of the manager, because he hasn't got any pre-season game, does he? We haven't got a pre-season. He's got to try and judge these players on 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there.
I think Thomas could be a one in January, to be honest.
It annoys me, these fringe players. I've got a bit of a rant about it. I just feel like some of them, I get why they're in the squad and I get why, you know, but do they not want to play minutes? Do they not want to, like, Shadipo's been about for years and years. It's just not happening. It won't happen. It hasn't happened. I think there is a player there, but I just don't think we've got enough time to give him the minutes to be able to get it out of him. You've got Nico Hamalainen, you know, you've
you know, who else have we got? George Thomas, Macaulay Bond, even Osman kind of falls in it, maybe sort of in and out a little bit. But these players, should we not be looking to move these players on? Because we keep relying on them, because we keep getting these injuries, or we keep needing them, but they're just, they weren't good enough last year. They weren't good enough 5 years. Like, do you know what I mean? Is anyone with me, or am I being harsh?
Wow. I think, go on, Brad.
Go on, Chris.
Say, if we take Shadipo as an example, if, let's say we got moved him on in January, then Chair or Willock were out for a few games. What are your options to play in those positions? I'm not saying Shadipo is a 10, but I'm saying now if Critchley wants to play those two wider, like he did against Preston, then I'll be going, right, that's a Doma, or that's a Taylor Richards, Roberts, fitness 50-50. Is it basically, like, it might just be easier to keep a Shadipo because he's wide man and...
What do you do, though? It's great to be in there. It's great that he can play wide. It's great that he can take a player on, but what does he actually do? He hasn't... I'm struggling to... Whenever he gets in a good position, it's a bit like George Thomas. They sort of...
I mean, I might be clinging on to this Burnley game, 45 minutes, that was actually an easy game to come into because
yes,
we were playing rubbish.
Worse.
So it's good. It's easy to look a good player because he was like, look, I want the ball and I'm going to be attacking. I'm just going to get at my man, like basic stuff. If we were 1-0 and like you're needing more intricate things, obviously it's different game state. But I mean, even when he came on and he was doing well, I said to my mate, I was like, oh, this is that player I saw against Fulham away in about 2016, where he put that, where he did well for the game that Silla scored last minute. And yeah, I'm clinging on to 45 minutes and one game years ago.
But does this just not give you a slight answer of promotion? Obviously, we all want to get promoted, all of our QPR fans, but we haven't got good enough fringe players there, and the experienced good players we got there, we can't keep fit. So are we asking for too much promotion, you know?
Well, because you've got fair play, I get it. And you know, you need to have a squad, you need to have these fringe players. I get that. But these are fringe players that have been fringe players for 4, 5, 6 years. And they come in, they've not been good enough. We keep saying they're not good enough. They're not going to change. New manager comes in, looks at them, thinks maybe they're good enough, keeps them on, or I don't know, but I just feel like, I don't know.
It comes down to budget as well, doesn't it?
I know, but these players should want to move on. Maybe there's players, that young players that are out there that we can take a gamble on. That I don't know, that might be able to offer something. I don't know. And you're right. We might lose one or two, but you know, like Paul Smythe, for example, he's doing really well, isn't he? Like, but we just couldn't give him the minutes to get him to that where he is.
Yeah, he's also doing really well a level down.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Two
levels down. Exactly. Yeah, that's the difference. Like,
Yeah.
Even Shadipo, he did all right last year. Was it Sheffield Wednesday? Was that in League One last year? Did okay. Maybe that's his level. This is the problem. Bon scored goals for Ipswich last year. That's obviously his level. They're not good enough for the Championship.
Sixth in the league. We're top end of the Championship. We're not bottom. We're not fighting for relegation.
Exactly.
You say that, though, but it's 3 points from 5th to 11th. You know, we're sixth in the league, but it's still so close up there.
Mm. Agree. But
I think this is... probably a lot of teams in this league could have the same conversation as us outside of that top six I want to say like a stereotypical top six, like the teams who have got a lot of money, the West Brom and Middlesbrough, who will likely finish definitely top 10, probably finish above us. Like West Brom are now looking ridiculous, as you would expect. They've got a ridiculous squad. They've got loads of money. Well, they haven't got money actually, but they've... like Jed Bullis, John Swift, DK up front, like they're ridiculous. They've been massively underperforming. And whereas, loads of teams in this league would be like, our starting 11's good, and what we've got below that isn't. But I just think we're just another one in the mix, really. You've got to have a team that gets not lucky, but keeps a consistent 11 and then can have their chance at the playoffs, basically.
I think like we say every podcast, I know I've missed the last few, but Willock and Chair, we just need to keep them both on form. But Willock to me still doesn't look fit. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I mean, he looked tired at Preston. So, yeah. But is there no players there that Critchley will attract, you know, like Beale obviously attracted these players that we've got now. Is there none there that Critchley will attract that we think is good enough to be in the squad?
Right. It might be, but is anybody on a free, I guess, or exactly. a loan?
The thing is, like, every manager's got their contacts, haven't they? Like, Critchley was at the Liverpool under 18s or 21s, whatever it was. So there's players probably in Liverpool's academy he might know of that he thinks could come and do a job. Do you know what I mean?
Do you reckon he worked with that? Is it? Oh, I can't think of his name. Elijah Santin. Do you reckon he worked with him? Because Bill brought him in, didn't he?
Victor Bodder?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly, mate. I mean,
he hasn't really got a look in yet. I know he's young, but
if he hasn't got a look in now, and we've got Amos and Johansson coming back, it makes it difficult to feel where he will get a look in, doesn't it? But same with Richards, I think. It's their kind of Bill signings. Richards was very much a Bill signing, wasn't he? And he looked at, it looks like there's a player there, but it's just whether I'm still not too sure where his best position is and where he fits in to a sort of 4-3-3. I don't know. So I don't know whether Critchley's thinking that as well. Not sure, but we're desperate for a striker. I'm just before Tim came on, I was saying that we should have really been out of sight, shouldn't we? And I know Dykes did okay, and he always does okay, but we just need someone to score, don't we? Like every other week, or even every once every three games, we just really don't have that. I don't know where Macaulay Bond is.
The problem is
Armstrong's not getting games. Tyler Roberts is injured.
The problem isn't it with every team who gets promoted, they have somebody in that team or squad who gets 15 plus goals. We haven't got anyone at the minute who's going to be doing that. Like Willock's not hitting the same form. Obviously, we don't know how Ilias is going to come back after the World Cup. Like it could have been them two, but with the break, it's a massive. I think January is a massive window for us. For our expectations, I feel if we go out and make some moves and try and do some action, like some business, then that shows we're going to push for it. If we don't, then I think the club are settling for another year in the Championship next year.
Well, I definitely think we're going to bring a striker in. I think that's a done thing. We have to.
I mean, where Macaulay Bodd is.
But if we lose Ethan Laird, then we've got to strengthen there for sure. And well, I'd like to say if Tim does go in January, gets recalled back, then we're quite strong. That's probably our strongest part of the team, isn't it? Centre of the park. So we'll probably be all right because you've got the likes of Steph, Phil, Johansson. So, yeah, it's definitely a striker we need, 100%.
Right, lads, what I was going to do was going to do a... It might be easier than it sounds in my head, but let's do an 11 with... First half of the season, our sort of main 11, who we think. So obviously keeper.
Yeah.
So Diang's only played, so scored a goal as well. But just quickly, is that how
obviously like fullbacks speak for themselves. I think centre back could be a bit of a, we might have to debate this a little bit.
Yeah, they were the two names that I not struggled with. Basically I filled in the entire team and then went back to centre backs.
I think you'd go Leon and Clark Salter, but people would go Clark Salter and Dunn.
I'd go
Jimmy and Clark.
I went Dunn and Balogun. I think all four of us have named a different two, different pairing. And I think that kind of sums it up.
Well, it sums up why Dickie's not been playing, doesn't it? He's not in any of our...
No one said Dickie, yeah.
No, and
I would have chucked him in just to annoy my uncle, to be honest.
Like I think we've already touched on with the midfield three picks itself with Tim, Sam and Steph.
Yeah, easily.
I can't see anyone else breaking into those three.
And then it'll just be Willock and Chair, but you'd have to go Dykes. I mean, we're all sat here now thinking, I don't want to pick Dykes, but we think you'd have to go Dykes.
Yeah, I put our joint top scorer on my team of the season so far. There's no other.
Armstrong to hit it off. I just want him to get a goal.
Yeah, I want him more minutes. I want to get him on the pitch. It feels like there's pressures of the games, isn't it? So it's difficult to just throw in a youngster, but I just feel like sometimes he can cause a bit of havoc.
We started the game against Cardiff at home. So in my weird mind, that makes more sense. He'll play Cardiff away.
No, that is weird.
So I mean,
Do you think he's just going to stick with same team Critchley at Boxing Day?
Obviously, yeah, you don't change a winning team, do you?
Don't change a winning team. But
not away from home. We're away from
home. Do you think he could change it up a bit because he's still not getting to know the players? So would you be surprised if... Well, obviously, Adoma's going to... I don't think Chair's going to be back, is he?
I think he'll be back, but I don't think he's going to be straight in the team. I think we'll see maybe Chair get some minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure he'll be in the squad. I don't know. He's not back until tomorrow, is he? Did Tim say so?
Yeah, Tim said possibly tomorrow. So
I don't know. He's a pretty fit lad, isn't he? He might be in the squad, yeah.
He hasn't played, did he? He only played, what, 45 minutes, so...
Cool. And that was a bit easier than I thought, though, really, just the centre-backs. But what about player of the season so far? I've just got it written down here. Kenneth Powell. Not too sure.
Ooh, that is a shout, to be fair.
That's a shout. Signing of the season, maybe, so far.
I've got him player of the season. I think, I don't know.
Well, I'll see your Kenneth Powell, and I'll raise you Sam Field.
Oh, you took mine. You took mine.
Sam Field, he's been so good for us.
I mean, you could even put Ethan Laird in there to a degree.
I know, but he's a loan signing, and I don't want to fall in love with a loan signing again.
He looked like a man. He had a really good, really, really good first 30 minutes at the weekend. He was excellent. I wonder whether he knows there's a sniff of him going back on loan or something. I don't know. Maybe that's the cynical part of me. I don't know.
The run he had in the first half where he like went past several players and got into the box and then, I mean, shocking effort that got blocked. It was going miles wide. But if that had flown in, oh...
It's mad that none of us even had a thought about Chair there, to be honest. I know he's been away at the World Cup, but I still think he's been putting a shift in, week out for us. Oh, can't believe
we've got to talk about fair it. Shout.
Yeah, I think there's probably Field has been ridiculous, I think, near enough every game all season. So there's probably an element of sort of recency bias that when we play the bad run we're on, you look to players like Field because... Obviously, Willock and Chair have still been excellent this season, but still, I mean, the fact that Willock obviously missed games, I think you'd still put Field number one, for me anyway.
So if I asked you before we go then, who do you think, right, this is your player, you think won't be at us in January?
McCauley Bon.
You're going Bon. I'm just probably going to go on an easy one and say Thomas, to be honest. Doug?
I reckon I've got a feeling we're going to lose either Laird or Tim.
Yeah, but you've got to give one, mate. I didn't ask you for two.
I'm going to say Tim.
Tim.
Yeah, I've got a feeling either Laird could be gone, to be honest. Him and if Nico Havilani is still at the football club, I don't know. I think he's on like a 100-year contract, isn't he? What did we give him a couple of years?
So it's still 2024, I think.
Why would he leave when you're giving him that?
I can still remember the graphic that they put up.
Unless we get 10 or 15 million for Dickie.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes in for Chair, though. I don't know if it'll be enough, but I wouldn't be surprised if some clubs sort of tickle the water and put in a couple of bids just to see where we're at. Not sure. Foreign clubs, maybe as well.
Yeah.
Really ass.
We've obviously touched on the fact that we need a striker in January. Anywhere else you think we need to strengthen?
Right back. If Ethan Laird gets a knock and he does go, then it's definitely a right back for me.
We need a full back that can play left and right back.
Yeah.
And just someone else up top. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't know what. Just not a striker, but I mean like someone. Who can fit just someone else that can fill in up there? You're like a,
there you go.
I know it's Jamie Patterson, but someone who can fill in on the wings and fill in number 10. He can play up front, play in all four.
Controversial opinion coming in. For me, I would quite happily terminate Roberts's loan deal and use the money elsewhere to get someone else in. I don't think he's done enough. I think he's been injured too often. I feel like it's just we're wasting however much on his wages. It's going to be quite a lot. I think we could be using that to get somebody else in who could actually probably play more than one every four games.
It is one I'd be really keen to know, the percentage we're paying of those wages, because is it one where Jesse Marsh has gone, be honest with you, you're not going to play for me, so you can go somewhere else, and then like we might be paying 20% of his wages. Obviously, that could still be quite a lot for us. And yeah, dunk that money could go a long way, but maybe it's not as much as we possibly think. But I'm with you. I wouldn't be like, wouldn't be crying if that tweet came out, kind of thing.
Maybe let's see where we are mid-Jan, see if he's played any more games and take it from
there.
There's
definitely a player there, though, if he stays fit.
Yeah, but he just isn't, though. And we've got too many of the players like that. Like, Chrissy Willock, wait, he's such a wonderful talent, but he's just struggling. He's not been himself since the injury. We've rushed him back, and he still wasn't himself the last couple of games.
Had a bad injury, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean, but, like, if he's injury, he is injury-prone. Roberts is injury-prone. Like, yeah. Dykes isn't firing. We need someone up there who's going to play week in, week out, and potentially grab us a goal every other game.
Yeah. All right, lads, we'll leave it there. Thanks for coming, joining on, and have a good Christmas. And let's hope we can get a result box today.
Exactly. Have a good Christmas as well to all the listeners. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a great year for us. Keep listening. We've got more to come next year. And up the ours.
You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.